Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday Hollow Cult. You know what that means. You've chosen us to hang out with you to get you through the work week. And for that, we are forever grateful. If you're new here, me and Kyle like to talk about some stuff. If that's not what you want to listen to, you can fast forward a few minutes, about the 6 minute mark, and we get into the crux of the show. If you want to listen to us talk about some show stuff, then you can hang out. If you're not new here, welcome back, weirdo. Glad to have you. Thanks for coming back in, stopping back in to hang out with us. Yeah, welcome to another work week. Yeehaw.
That's not very good news.
No. Un-yeehaw. Check us out at all our socials. You know where they're at. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast. You'll find us there. Come be part of the community. Join the cult. It's a good cult. It's a fun cult. Everybody has a good time. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature on a future show, Kyle's got the details.
I do. It's in the show notes. Show notes. Nerds. It's always going to be there. But it's hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. Write your stories out. Write your concerns out. Write your fascinations out. Send them over there. That's where we're for sure going to get the information that we need. It may or may not fall into the catacombs, but it'll get dug out. Once it gets dug out, we'll do what we got to do with it. We'll make you famous. We won't be famous. That's just the way it goes. Okay?
It's just the way it is. Things will never be the same.
Yeah, we'll never be famous, but we'll make you famous.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It all works out in the wash.
Just out here doing the Lord's work.
If you'd like to support
our... Punching through them glass ceilings.
Punching them right through.
Stone cold.
Yeah.
Cue stone cold entrance.
That made me laugh. If you'd like to support this endeavor, we have a Patreon you can go check out. Got all kinds of good stuff over there, extra episodes, all kinds of things, ad-free episodes, early episodes. Big shout out to the people who have already subbed over there. Love you guys. Thank you for the support. You can also go to hollowskypodcast.com. We got a store over there. Get some merch, get some swag, and rep the Hollow Cult in the best way you see fit. And an easy way is to share the show, word of mouth, share it on social medias, go to the YouTube, subscribe, comment, any little thing helps, and it takes no time at all. And it's free. You just go over there, hit subscribe to the show, download some episodes, easy peasy. You can also go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Or go to our socials and leave us a nice little review. I'll find them, and then I'll shout you out when I do. This week's 5-star rating and review comes to us from our friend Jeff, who left us a 100% recommendation.
My name is Jeff.
On the Facebook. Jeff on the Facebook says, refreshing, hardworking, honest, regular guys bringing it home. Right. Well done. Keep it coming.
That's right.
Hell yeah, Jeff. Thanks for the kind words. We're doing our best, which we realize isn't that great.
Yeah.
But it's still our best.
Yeah, we do all right.
Yeah, it's fine. Everything's fine. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah. It's greatly appreciated to have some kind words once in a while.
Yeah. We do work hard.
It makes us smile.
Not to toot our horn, but everything is done in-house.
Toot, toot.
So...
It is all in-house. There's a lot of pride that goes into that.
Yeah. We're making the best show we can make for you guys.
Yeah, with the time that we have.
With the time that we don't have, technically.
Also true.
So, glad to have you on board, Jeff. Another way you can support the show is support our lovely sponsors, which you will hear from now. Hey, Hollow Cult. We're right into the new year, and if you're like me, you're in the mindset of wanting to get healthier. But I feel like I'm just guessing as to which habits actually matter for me specifically. I don't know which supplements to buy, which vitamins to take, or which workout trends I should be following. It's easy to get overwhelmed at the thought of it all. But this is where True Diagnostic comes in. True Diagnostic helps you find the exact supplements and lifestyle changes that can make a difference for you and which ones you might be wasting your money, time, and energy on. If you're spending money on supplements, workouts, and wellness trends, it's worth knowing what is actually going to move the needle for you. With True Diagnostic, you can choose your test. With True Age, it measures your biological age versus your chronological age and your current pace of aging. It also gives you your top three aging actions that you can take to slow or reverse aging. With True Health, it tests 105 plus biomarkers, including vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, and fatty acids to understand your body system's health right now. It focuses on energy, metabolism, inflammation, and nutrient status today and gives you your top three health actions to work on for the next 90 days. Or for your best value, you can get the combo kit, which combines the True Age and True Health tests in one package. It shows you how fast you're aging and how healthy you are right now and gives you both three aging actions and three health actions to work on each quarter. The process and experience is simple. Order online and the kit ships right to your door. It's quick, simple finger prick at home, then drop it in the prepaid return package. Your only job, follow the three most important actions you can take for 90 days, then retest to see your progress. True Diagnostic is trusted by top longevity clinics and health professionals, not just consumers at home. Right now, our listeners can get 20% off at truediagnostic.com using code HOLOSKY at checkout. That's truediagnostic.com. And use code HOLOSKY for 20% off today. Choose True Age, True Health, or the Combo Kit as a one-time purchase or a subscription. Hey, Holocult. Did you know that there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code HOLO1. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. They have Sleepy Time Advanced gummies for a mind-soothing calm each night. They also have Morning Delta 9 gummies for an energizing, focused mental boost to start your day. Mind Magic gummies for focused, deep work and enhanced creativity. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a large selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get in the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered directly to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned before, HoloSky listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLO1. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code HOLO1 when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Be sure to try it today at Mood.com. And just like that, we are back. Kyle's coming in hot with, trying to look over his shoulder here. Ooh. What do you got there, Kyle?
It is a story about Predator and the origins of it.
It is interesting that it was brought up a couple times in the Florida episode.
Yeah, it is. It is rather ironic because, like we've discussed, we don't typically tell each other what we're writing about. Actually, we never do.
It's a synchronization.
I've always, which I'm surprised it hasn't happened. There come a day where we have both written the same episode.
I think about it, and then it'll just be a collab.
Yeah. But we haven't done that yet. But to the story, to the good parts, I've talked about finding this for quite a while. Everybody knows this. I remember stumbling around on the story originally on Reddit, been years back, and I saw information that suggested that the Predator movie was based off actual events. Of course, I can't recall if what I'm about to present to you is that story, but I'm pretty sure it is. And from there, we're going to spin in a direction that kind of stays with the Predator theme. I'm going to try to do as many episodes as I can. I'm figuring at least 4 episodes coming out of it, but we'll see what happens.
That's a run.
Yeah. I'm going to see what I can dig up with it.
The phenomena, the Predator glimmer, shimmer phenomena is an interesting one to me.
It is.
Like, we kind of touched on it a little bit last show. Like, are these creatures a single species? Is this some kind of technology they're using? It's really, really good rabbit hole to dive down.
It is. And Predator is single-handedly one of the greatest movies ever made.
Can't argue that.
Yeah. So it's one of my favorites.
If you do, you're wrong.
I would agree. So, to the story. 1968, a Special Forces unit led by Captain Richard Hollister disappeared during a routine extraction operation in Vietnam. They were found 3 days later hanging from trees and skinned. All of their weapons were intact and no enemies were close to the site. The official report comes out and it says the Viet Cong guerrilla units were to blame for what had happened to the unit. Which I know there have been cases like this before, where military units do fucked up things like this in hopes of scaring the opposing side. Me and Steve have talked about this before.
Yeah. What was it? Russia in World War II or World War I?
Yep. And then I want to say there was something in Cuba or something around there where the CIA took part and stuff like this too.
Yeah.
And I think they did it in Vietnam too, where they played over loudspeakers voices.
Yeah.
To the Viet Cong and scaring them out of there. It had something to do with them dying and not being at peace and shit.
Yeah, I think the Soviets were skinning prisoners and hanging their skins in trees, and then they were word of mouthing that creatures existed in the Siberia and shit that were doing this to people.
It's crazy.
It's psychological warfare.
Yeah. And it's crazy. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
The idea of skinning someone is terrifying.
Yeah.
So anyways, field surgeon's notes come out and it said that no human tool could have caused the wounds that were inflicted on the men. The precision would suggest mechanical origin. The bodies were drained of blood. 2 weeks later, a 3-man recon team was sent into the area. That team went missing. More people went in and found a single dog tag. This dog tag belonged to Private James Elkins. The metal on the dog tag was melted in a way that couldn't be identified. In 1972, 5 soldiers in Cambodia were separated from their unit only to be later found skinned, hanging, and skulls and spinal columns removed with surgical precision. A local villager reported seeing lights like angry fireflies in the jungle that night, or the night before. He also seen a shadow that bent the trees moving through the canopy. That man disappeared 3 days later after his testimony. Apparently by 1975, the Pentagon created a dossier on the bizarre events, naming it Forest Hunter. But they put together 13 other events that resembled these cases across Southeast Asia. In each case, it was elite military units, isolated bodies displayed in trees with specific organs removed. Locals also witnessed strange lights or distortions in the jungle canopy. Every witness who came forward would disappear or be found dead. There was also a DARPA scientist that looked at some of the photographs of this being and declared it wasn't human or normal at all. Apparently, she was killed in a home invasion and her documents stolen. Guatemala, 1982, a unit of CIA were helping Guatemalan special forces, but they all went missing. There were operations in the northern province of Patan. 2 weeks later, a local farmer discovered their remains, 8 men hanging from trees. The night before, the farmer reported seeing a demon made of glass. Unusual tracks were found by the site, 3-toed tracks that just ended up disappearing. Now, according to what I've seen, a Dutch Special Forces unit went in and got smoked, which would lead to the 7-man team in the movie with Dutch and Dylan, both with links to the movie and the encounter, because Dutch would be the main character in the movie Predator.
That's interesting.
And I think in this case, Dylan was a CIA guy that went missing, but Dylan is also in the movie Predator.
Some soft disclosure there.
It's weird, right? Huh. Now, apparently this was too large to cover up, so they sent a script to Hollywood. Locations were already plotted. Military advisors were involved. They wanted to be very specific on how the bodies were hung and skinned, which suggests that they wanted as much of the story put out to completely discredit it. However, it apparently didn't stop there. In Desert Storm, U.S. Marine scouts went missing. They found thermal imaging equipment that was melted, similar to the Jungle Hunter situation. 3 days later, the 3 men were found hanging from a water tower. Apparently, the Marine that found the bodies requested a transfer right afterwards because he witnessed something moving across the desert. He wrote that it wasn't human and it was like heat waves bending the air, but shaped like a man. It was too tall and fast. He said he fired at it and ended up with 3 red dots on his chest, but the thing let him live for whatever reason.
You hear the heat wave reference a lot in the Glimmer Man, Shimmer Man encounters. When I was looking them up, that was one that I actually had seen that was reported in around Cahokia Mounds, which isn't that far from us. It's right down the road from where I work. And that was the exact reference she used to describe it, was a heat wave man.
Yep. And you do. I think most people, that's what they see when they think of like the Glimmer Man, yeah, or
yep,
anything like that. Anyways, lost my spot here. Now with this story, I looked around and tried to verify some of this information and I could not. That's not to say one way or the other, because how likely you would find the truth about something like this is extremely small. Regardless, I've been in love with that movie ever since the day I watched it. Furthermore, I've been even more in love with the idea that it actually happened. Even more so when I stumbled on that Reddit post. We all know that Reddit and the internet in general is full of a lot of mystery and bullshit. So once again, take all of that with a grain of salt. But I did decide to approach this from another angle. I decided to look at it like this. What accounts out there could have inspired the Predator movie, assuming that this story I just presented is fake? What else is lurking around out there that someone may have heard about and decided to turn it and spin it into a movie? Here is the beginning of what I found. Going to a much older narrative into the jungles of West and Central Africa. We're going to start this series off with the leopard men. Hunters that cross the boundary between human and animal, sanctioned not by human law, but by the jungle itself. Across regions in West and Central Africa, like Sierra Leone, Liberia, and parts of Nigeria, and interior parts of the Congo Basin, villagers have spoken of men who did not just pretend to be leopards. They said these men became them. Seen in these regions, leopards did exist, but the people living there knew what a leopard looked like, how it acted. However, what they were seeing was not that. It was something far more unnatural. In these areas, the leopard is not just a predator either. It is a symbol of judgment, authority, and boundary enforcement. Chiefs would actually wear leopard skins, not as trophies, but as signs of alignment with a force older than human governance. The leopard represented the jungle's will, the capacity to punish, its right to reclaim. So when the villagers in the area spoke of leopard men, they were not just describing some random killers. They were describing agents of the forest, beings believed to act on behalf of a higher non-human order. So with that in mind, they perceived as the jungle had its own set of rules. And one thing was for sure, humans were not at the top of the food chain inside the jungles. Eyewitness accounts across multiple regions describe leopard men as undergoing real transformation. This wasn't some type of disguise, which will later come into play. Some would claim that the men physically transformed into a leopard, hunting in animal form and later returning as a human with no wounds, blood, and no explanation.
That's interesting.
Others believe that leopard men's spirit left his body, hunting as a leopard while his human form would lay dormant, asleep, or hidden. Upon waking, the man often claimed no memory of what happened. Another widespread belief was possession. A leopard spirit inhabited the man, using his body as a vessel. Villagers said these people changed afterwards. They usually became withdrawn, volatile, fearful of mirrors and water, and uneasy in firelight.
That's weird. Fearful of mirrors.
Yeah. Oh, as we get through this, there's going to be a lot of tropes that kind of play into current paranormal things that we know quite a bit about.
That's interesting.
Even more unsettling accounts described a layered existence where the leopard man was neither fully human nor fully animal, seen as man by day and predator by night, which this hits on some many different fields across the paranormal spectrum. You have the Wendigo, Skinwalker, Possession, Werewolf, because even in some Wendigo lore, it's the Wendigo spirit that inhabits man to make him commit these atrocities of cannibalism.
Yep, that's where my brain was going when they were initially talking about the leopard men.
Right, and then you have Skinwalker accounts that match it, the werewolf, all of that stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
And I find it interesting how lore across the planet matches. You have different cultures here that have this same type of narrative, that men have this capability to transform into an ultimate predator, or is being possessed by one. Villagers repeatedly describe a few things here: feeling watched without seeing anything, hearing movement in trees with no visible animal, sensing breath, weight, or presence without form, seeing foliage shift without sound, and tracks that appear suddenly and end abruptly. From across regions, people would say you cannot see him unless he allows it. Which this is interesting because it hits on the modern shimmery entities. But those accounts would in theory predate all the technological capabilities. So this took place at a time where invisibility was understood as spiritual control over perception, not concealment.
That's what I was going to ask. Like when these took place, that
these would have taken place a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like you're talking in some of these accounts, apparently you're talking like late 1800s.
Yeah.
Something, because in the next episode, we get into when colonial, like, authorities come to the region and start trying to govern these people. Because, I guess, spoiler alert, what ends up happening is the colonial authorities don't understand the leopard men lore, and they can't govern that. So what they end up doing is they end up creating a criminal structure for these leopard men. They say that these are, because you can look it up, Leopard Society. They essentially created a secret society for these leopard killings.
That's wild.
It is crazy.
I, kind of off topic, but also on topic, I always find a specific interest in, like, the airship encounters that are reported from, like, the 1800s, and yeah. and beyond that, because it's before a time that we had flight technology.
Right.
So whatever was in the sky wasn't human.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same way whenever you see whatever technology these beings are using to cloak themselves is before man would have technology to produce it. Man of this timeline anyway.
Exactly. It's wild, man. Something else that separated the leopard men from natural predators was how the dead body was treated. A leopard kills to eat, and leopard men kill to communicate. Some of the reported features of the dead were as follows. Wounds inconsistent with normal feeding patterns, selective removal of flesh, bodies placed deliberately on paths or village edges, minimal blood or no blood at scene, and signs of positioning or display. So it kind of fits that predator narrative of hanging the bodies, skinning them, removing sections as trophies.
Yep.
It kind of does, you know, fit that narrative. It's not dead on, of course, but I'm looking at it through the lens of what could have inspired such stories. Local belief is that these weren't random attacks. They were judgments. Some victims were believed to have violated taboos, betrayed kinship obligations, or offered spiritual offended spiritual laws. This would shape how the deaths were understood. The forest, through the leopard man, was believed to be speaking. So this is the forest or the jungle dishing out its punishment for the people who have kind of fucked up. Eyewitness accounts also attribute them with abilities beyond human limits. They possessed abnormal strength, endurance far beyond normal men, resistance to blades, traps, and bullets, the ability to vanish even when surrounded, which all of that right there is predator motif to a T.
Oh, yeah. It also kind of reminds me of like Bigfoot lore about how they leave markings in the forest, you know, be it bent trees or rock piles or whatever, and how they're reported to just disappear, and how they said they were leaving the bodies for communication, not to people, but to other cheetah beings. I've read an encounter, like Bigfoot encounters. There was one where this guy was in his bass boat and he was traveling along the swamp in right on the Georgia-Florida line. And as he came across this branch that was hung out on this tree, there were three cottonmouths tied in just a looping knot on these trees.
That's weird.
Yeah, three of them. And they were dead, but he said the way he described it was that it was so much like they almost had to have been alive when they were tied. And it was left there as like a warning. Not necessarily to any man, because they're out in the middle of a fucking swamp, you know, but left it as communication to another Sasquatch. Which,
and I guess in this case, the villagers always assumed that the displayed bodies and such were a communication to them. Not so much to other leopard men.
I keep saying cheetah men.
Same thing.
Leopard men.
Both vicious cats.
Yeah.
Now, at the time, these traits were perceived as spiritual protection, described as ritual medicine or a pact with the leopard spirit. Attempts to ambush or kill a suspected leopard man were said to fail every single time. Ordinary rules no longer applied to these beings. Some accounts claim that the leopard men weren't always into control either. Witness claim that certain individuals would have no memory of nighttime events, described blackouts or dreamlike states, spoke of being taken or used, expressed fear of what they might become after dark. In the Congo Basin, a recurring phrase was, "the leopard uses him." Ironically enough, we have another common paranormal sum here. The forest/jungle is a liminal realm. The jungle isn't just a location, it is a threshold world. The leopard men belong to, it's said that they belong to, the edge of villages, forest paths, boundaries between cleared land and jungle, places where human authority weakens. This is what we've talked about in other episodes of liminal places, you know, those meeting of realms, so to speak, and there's like a veil there that allows things to cross through.
Yep. Like the Fae.
Like the Fae. I mean, that's a dead-on example. People insisted that leopard men couldn't operate fully outside these spaces. They were bound to the jungle, reinforcing the idea that they were not roaming criminals, but boundary enforcers, entities that emerged only where worlds overlap. Villagers even believed that the leopard man would allow rumors to spread, struck unpredictably, avoided patterns, and thrived on uncertainty. Fear was not always collateral damage. It was the point. Terror reminded humans that the jungle was not theirs to control. Like many other paranormal cases that take place in the wilderness, people talk about the sound that occurs, or the lack thereof. Abrupt silence in insect and birds. Some people reported the sensation of being pulled away, or sound being pulled away, which is a fucking really terrifying description. I couldn't imagine being in a place and then just hearing or feeling something sucking the sound out of the area.
I know I keep referencing other paranormal phenomena, but it's prevalent in the missing 411 cases.
I think the mentioning of other paranormal cases is extremely relevant in this situation because, like I said, from my information, from what I've gathered, this happens in at least, you know, it probably only starts to become documented when the colonial people move in the 1800s and such.
Yeah.
So this could have predated that by hundreds of years, essentially. But the fact that there are so many aspects of this that match aspects of skinwalkers and wendigos and possession and alien abduction and shit like that, I find it extremely fascinating that people from across the planet have these same categories for their spiritual or paranormal encounters.
Yeah, and as far as missing 411 goes, Politis does bring up the shimmer camouflage phenomena quite a bit in some of his cases.
That's weird.
Yeah. In one of the documentaries, I don't know if it was Missing 411 The Hunted or what, but he does a whole like case on it, essentially.
It probably was that one, because I know that there was a where they took the picture of whatever was there, and it was all fucked up. On the
old cell phone.
Yep. Yeah, and it was all fucked up.
Yep.
That is strange.
And a lot of the missing 411 accounts of people that survived talk about the forest going silent.
Yeah.
Just out of nowhere, and it feeling off, and like I almost it like this it's sucking the sound out. It feels like what would happen, because
it's one of the, like, in my opinion, one of the most accurate descriptions of what would probably take place.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most disturbing descriptions, I think, that I've heard about the absence of sound in paranormal events. Yeah. The idea of it being sucked out of the environment is just really creepy.
Yeah. Gross.
And it's even weirder that, you know, they use the word sensation, but that's to me, it suggests like being able to feel it be sucked out is just really bizarre.
Yeah.
Other things that they've noticed is heavy breathing with no visible source, low growls that do not match animals. Elders in West Africa apparently warn that when it goes too quiet, it means that something has entered the area that doesn't belong to the normal order of things. Something else that has been reported but often dismissed by outsiders is the dreams, omens, and premonitions. Sometimes the leopard men would appear in dreams the night before an attack. As animal silhouettes watching from trees, as human figures with animal eyes, or as a presence pressing down on the sleeper, which is kind of like sleep paralysis or like the, what is it, like the old hag, night hag, whatever you want to call it. So there's another one that is, it plays to, you know, paranormal encounters that we have in the States here.
Yeah, the overlap is wild.
It's strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
But with these omens and dreams, these were often seen as warnings, and elders advised that if someone dreamt of being chased without seeing the pursuer, a leopard staring silently or a path that loops back on itself, they should not enter the jungle the next day at all. You just stay the fuck out of there. Don't take the chance. You're probably going to get jacked up by Leopard Man. Also, like other paranormal encounters, lore, and warnings, we have how children in the area were warned not to follow a voice calling their name from the trees. They weren't to approach a man standing motionless at the edge of the forest or follow animal tracks that appear suddenly. And this is another terrifying description that I don't think that I'll ever forget. Some accounts have children seeing a man who stands wrong. To me, that's disgusting.
Like,
imagine your 7-year-old child saying, I saw a man today and he stands wrong.
Yeah. Makes me feel like their legs are bent backwards.
Or, yeah, something. Like, something's crazy, like, crazy off about it. They also, the children have also said things like seeing a figure that does not blink or someone who turns into an animal when noticed, which sounds just like the skinwalker. But it's interesting because these weren't told to children as entertainment. They were told as safety guidelines. So in my opinion, it at least shows the reality of what the elders believed in at the time. You know, enough to warn the children to stay the fuck away from these entities whenever they were seen. And I do feel like that's kind of a twofold situation, because you could also argue that the elders would put those out to keep the kids away from the jungle because of the leopards.
Yeah, like a boogeyman scenario.
Yeah, exactly. Another question that I would ask, how did the leopard men come to be? Now, with this, there are a few different beliefs when it comes to this. The most widespread belief is that the person is selected by the leopard. Some idea of how it chooses is the spirit selects after time spent alone in the forest. A near-death experience, violation, or crossing of a taboo, the person doesn't always consent to this either. If it is an option, it seems like it is likely you become... Okay, so let me rephrase that. The person doesn't like... Or if the person doesn't consent to this, it is a very likely outcome that you will become very ill, mad, or death if you refuse the leopard. Which kind of reminds me of the boundary with skinwalkers a little bit. Because they have that type of almost same magic, if you will.
It does feel very skinwalkerish to me. Like a lot of aspects of it.
It does. There are a lot of things that parallel the skinwalker.
Yeah.
So it almost makes me wonder if like a spirit would come to you at some point is what they believe. you know, whether that be in your dreams or life. And it basically just tells you, like, hey, Steve, you're a leopard man now. And if you're like, no, it's like, well, you're about to go crazy then, because we ain't letting this one slide. Okay.
I love that it's like, you've got the choice, but if you choose no, you're going to be blind and deaf.
Yeah. It sucks.
Sorry about you.
It sucks.
So choose wisely.
And choose the leopard.
Future leopard man.
Another belief, which may have led into later explanations of the later leopard men, the inheritance or bloodline curse. The condition is passed down through blood. It often manifests in adulthood. It's possible it skips generations. Seems like it could be a relatively reasonable explanation.
Yeah.
And okay. I feel like that type of explanation is rooted in all types of cultures.
I hate bloodline curses. They're the worst.
I don't have one, I don't think.
Would you know if you did?
That's a good question. It would be interesting to ask somebody who could sniff that out.
That would.
And shit, in today's world, it's very hard to tell if, you know, if I have a bloodline curse or not.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me that much that somebody in my family lineage has done something completely ill-advised.
Was a leopard man.
That would be interesting. That would be interesting.
Freaking bloodline curses, I tell you what.
Old leper man.
Tell you what.
Anyways, when this happens, you will see possible signs. Changes in behavior, attraction to the forest, or jungle, violent dreams, and a withdrawal from community life. Some belief systems said that these leopard men were created through ritual crossing, things like spending extended time in forbidden forest zones. I guess at some point, if you took part in fasting and or isolation, so I'm like, it almost makes me feel like going on one of those like spiritual trips / journeys and coming into contact with a leopard spirit and establishing communication that way. Another thing that it was believed that there was the possibility of ritual consumption of medicine associated with the leopard, and also symbolic death and rebirth. So, as you can kind of tell, a lot of the leopard men lore, and rightfully so, is very like belief system based.
Yeah.
Very spiritually based in these cultures. But also the leopard was a prominent figure of the jungle, like they said. Even chiefs would wear, you know, leopard skins. So it was a big deal in the area. One of the more chilling beliefs is that the leopard men appear when the forest needs them. The jungle is a conscious system. When balance is disrupted, an enforcer emerges. The leopard man is then generated. When one leopard man dies, it is eventually replaced by another. Never the same man either. It's always someone different. Which is crazy. Because they are believing and pushing out the idea that, like, I know I kind of said this already, but the forest absolutely, or the jungle, forest, whatever, creates what it needs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, it is kind of ironic that in today's world, we don't much fuck with the jungles.
No, I'm not.
Like, most people stay the fuck out of the jungles. Aside from annihilating them, cutting everything down, but
You're going to find me in a jungle.
Yeah, we really don't, like as humanity, we really don't fuck with the jungles.
I wonder if there's a set number of leopard men. Because it says the man is never the same, but I'm assuming like the spirit passes itself from one to another.
You would think so, yeah.
Which would almost infer that there is a set number of these leopard men spirits out there.
It is an interesting question.
It's just continuous.
Because there was at least four different regions that they reported in. Like I said, the Sierra Leone.
Liberia,
Nigeria, and the Inner Congo Basin.
I wonder if they're each a different species. Each have their own territory. It's so hard because, like, the lore rides that line between flesh and blood kind of cryptid and supernatural based spirit type of cryptid, you know?
Yeah.
So it's
like, I find it interesting as hell that it matches so close with the skinwalker.
Yeah.
Both of like native tribes to their areas.
Which when we talked to Sean Klein, he basically said that there are very similar entities spread out across the world.
That's true.
But different cultures have different names for them. So it makes sense that these things are similar, albeit a little bit different.
And it makes sense. I mean, we've discussed time and time again about how the same entity is out there, but it also goes by different names. And I did recently see something about the Tower of Babel being involved in something in that, which was fascinating, about how after it was, you know, destroyed and the languages all changed across the planet because of that. That's when these entities started getting different names.
Oh, that's creepy.
It's kind of a cool concept on us calling things differently, even though it's the same thing.
Yeah.
I was like, ha, I like that. I like that idea.
Because I feel like we kind of talked with Sean Klein, the term skinwalker is tossed around like a very broad brush painted across all different kinds of entities, but it's very much like a Navajo entity, you know?
Yeah.
And the word gets thrown around quite a bit when he made the point to say that, like, there are similar beings that infiltrate different cultures that act very similar, but they do go by different names. And it almost makes you wonder, now that we're kind of going off on this tangent, like, does whatever specific name hold power to that specific entity?
That's a good question.
Yeah. So, like, does a skinwalker hold more power over Navajo people? And are they better equipped to deal with specific skinwalkers than other people? Which I kind of feel like that they are.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, I don't know if it's true or not, but I do feel like the name has power. Which is exactly why they don't say the skinwalker's, you know, real name. It's interesting.
I like we're diving into like prehistory kind of lore of these things. Because I don't feel like we get a chance to do that very often.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Because we're all about finding...
It is fascinating that this, you know, it pans out that it's from so long ago. I'd like to find more like this, actually. Where you know, it's in from way back when.
Because we're all about, like, finding cases of the Glimmer Man, the Shimmer Man, the Predator beings. But I really like that we're going down this path where we're getting to like the crux of the history.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. When I heard about it, I was like, hell yeah, this is going to be cool. Especially like even the next episode, as long as I can find enough information to really fully swing it. Cause we do try to aim for an hour, but the fact that and you could totally see it happening, how a new governing principle comes in and is like, well, we can't punish spirits. We got to punish somebody for these fucking murders. And so it's kind of crazy that it's like a twofold system because they start to go after the villagers. Well, the villagers are in a state of panic because they know all these leopard men killings are taking place. The colonial people kind of coax confessions out of them that they did it, so on and so forth. And the colonial people were, because these people would have big fucking claw marks down them. But the colonial people decided, like, you made makeshift weapons out of leopard claws, and that's what you're using to kill these people, right? So, like, they completely explained it all away, put in the ritual, secret cult side with it, and that's how they began to explain away these leopard men.
It's so crazy.
It is crazy. But you could see it happening. Oh, you know, yeah. Just coming to this uncertain crossroads where you're like, what the fuck? Yeah. And it's crazy because, like, once they made that distinction, it's like both side kind of doubled down. Like the colonial people were like, yeah, this is criminal activity, but the villagers and stuff were like, this is definitely leopard man, and we're still scared. Like, I don't know, it was like two worlds were in the same place, but they were separate, you know?
Yeah. It's reminiscent of demonic possession.
Yeah.
Where experiencers fully believe that they are infested with some sort of malicious entity. But if you look at science, they're like,
no, you're not.
Probably schizophrenia. Don't know what to tell you.
Take
sorry.
These meds.
Very, very much in the same vein as that.
Yeah. What's crazy is that even when these people would partake in rituals or something of that nature and became the leopard man, it was always viewed as the one who became the leopard man didn't actually choose that path. So they described as, or they're described as having compulsion or some inevitability, obligation, or being used almost like some type of cursed enforcer. So the way they explain it is that even if you took part in a ritual to become the leopard man, in most cases, you were essentially under some form of duress that would coax you into doing that ritual to become the leopard man. So the leopard, it's almost like the leopard spirit made it inevitable for you to choose the leopard man. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's weird though.
It is weird. It's almost like it makes it to where it's like, oh, Steve, we'll give you a choice. But at the same time, they're not giving you a choice.
Yeah, it's free will, but against your will.
Yeah, it absolutely, it's like the manipulation of your free will. Yeah. It's weird. Which makes you feel like the leopard spirit is not that great of a spirit.
No.
The leopard men weren't created in one way, which makes this kind of overall extremely interesting. And I think that that's a fact that is insanely overlooked in other paranormal accounts. Some of these men were chosen by the leopard spirit. Some inherited it. Some crossed a line they couldn't come back from. And some weren't men at all. They were what the forest created when balance was broken. And that is fucking bizarre. When you strip away the technology, the special effects, and the Hollywood framing, Predator stops looking like a science fiction invention and starts looking like an old idea wearing a new mask. Long before the movie, people living beside dense jungles were already describing hunters that watched from the trees. Chose when to be seen and killed not to eat but to send a message. In West and Central Africa, villagers spoke of leopard men, beings believed to cross the boundary between human and animal, sanctioned not by human law but by the forest itself. These weren't stories about a single monster. They were descriptions of a role, a function, something that appeared at the edges of villages, along forest paths, and in places where human authority weakened. People described bodies found displayed rather than consumed, tracks that vanished, silence falling over the jungle, and the feeling of being watched long before anything was seen. Some believed the leopard man was chosen by a spirit. Others believed it was inherited. Others still said the forest created what it needed when balance was broken. But across regions, one idea stayed consistent. Whatever this was, it was not just a man pretending to be an animal. And that's where Predator fits in. Not as evidence, and not as history, but as reflection. The movie works because it taps into something ancient. The fear that in certain places, humans are not the apex predator. That the jungle has its own rules. That something can observe without being seen. It also decides who is worthy prey and disappears back into the trees without explanation. Whether people believe these encounters were spiritual, psychological, symbolic, or something else entirely, what matters is that people who experienced them believed they were real, and belief shapes behavior, fear, and survival. So maybe Predator wasn't inspired by a single secret mission or a hidden dossier. Maybe it was inspired by something far more older, by generations of stories about hunters that don't belong to any one culture, any one time, or any one explanation. Stories that keep resurfacing whenever humans step deep enough into the wild to realize they're not alone and never were.
I like, makes my brain kind of churn whenever it talks about the forest needing the leopard man. The forest has, or the jungle has to step in and therefore throws out these leopard men. It reminds me of other accounts like, what was it? The Nahini Valley, the Valley of the Headless Men.
Yeah.
Where it's almost like something.
That's a good point.
Something supernatural, something of the forest is trying to keep people out.
Which also, away. Like the way you word that makes me think of the natives and how they had forest spirits. You know, spirits in the water, protectors. The trees. Protectors, exactly.
Yeah. Hmm.
And isn't it, to me, it's just so fascinating that, you know, the Navajo had similar parallel belief systems to these tribes in Africa, up to the Nahini Valley, and all over the planet, which at the time, I would venture to say that it would be extremely unlikely that these tribes all communicated with each other at some point.
Yeah, I agree.
Like to me, that is so fascinating.
It is almost like it's similar entities, or at least entities paralleling each other across multiple cultures, multiple times. And it's like cultures trying to explain as best they can what these entities are and what they're doing.
And obviously, for a lot of them, bad things ensued. Because that's why they get talked about so much.
Yeah.
And we've discussed before how it's ironic how a lot of the good ones don't ever get mentioned.
Yeah. I've never heard of the Leopard Men before.
Me either. That's why I was kind of stoked on finding it. And finding things from different countries.
Yeah, it's dope.
Because we don't do a whole lot of different countries either.
No. We do 40 and 50. Which is 50 states.
Yeah.
Not 40 and 100,000 countries. I don't know how many countries there are.
There's a lot.
Not 100,000.
There's a lot,
that's
though.
That's dope. I'm curious to see what direction this goes.
Yeah, because like I said, I've found the Leopard Man, I found essentially Glamour Man stories from other jungle countries. I think there was like three or four solid encounters, like, you know, Leopard Men is an encounter, these shadow beings or another one, so on and so forth, that fit this narrative that I'm going to try to explore and form this overarching Predator series where these stories could have inspired that movie. But furthermore, information across the planet that seemed to fit into a category.
I like how it kind of weaves in and out of other supernatural and paranormal beings and encounters.
Yeah, and with the next Leopard Man one, you know, I don't imagine the secret society is going to exactly fit in with the Predator narrative, but I made the decision to go ahead and do it because I don't want to drop Leopard Man and then try to pick it back up later on.
Yeah.
With the Secret Society version. I'm like, well, I'm here. I might as well just do it and go and get after it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be banger. Hell yeah.
Well,
Hollow Cold, thanks for hanging out with us today. Learning a little bit about some different cultures and the entities that they have had to deal with, which is, it's awesome. It's crazy that I've looked into so much stuff, never came across that.
I've never heard about it either.
It's wild. It kind of is enlightening that there's so much stuff that we still don't know.
Yeah.
Because 7 years deep, we've heard and read some stuff.
Yeah, you feel like you've heard everything.
Yeah. And then you get something, you're like, oh, shit.
This is new.
There we go. But yeah, happy Monday, Hollow Cult. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for choosing to kick it with us. Hope everybody's work week is going well and continues to go well. So that being said, check us out at all our socials. Stay safe. Stay weird. If you've ever came across a Glimmer Man, a Shadow Being, Shiny Man, Shimmer Man, Predator Being, hit us up. Let us know. If you have any theories on what these things could be, leave us some things in the comments, some good things.